Blog Talk Radio.
Now, have you ever considered being a squirrel?
It's bizarre.
Hello and welcome to episode 9 of Bizarro UK. There are quite a few people who probably wouldn't think that we'd get to episode 9, but here we are. It's magnificent, I think. This week's guest, we have the wonderful, all the way from Spain, I believe, Grant Womack. Is it pronounced Womack? Womack?
Womack. Yeah.
So it's like a soft A.
Yeah. I mean, I tell people like Big Mac, Big Wah. So like Womack.
Womack. I've always sort of, on social media, I'm like, oh, he's Grant Womack again. Do you know what I mean? He's Grant Womack again. He's on my timeline again. You know, so now I've got to change my whole sort of outlook on your name. I've got to try and train myself to say it with a soft A. So Grant Womack. Womack. It could take me a while, but I'll probably nail it by the end of this interview.
Sure, I believe in you.
Yeah, thousands wouldn't. So, thanks for joining us all the way from Spain.
Thank you.
Yeah, where you're having a bit better weather than we're having in England at the moment. You're pissing it down as usual. Tell us a bit about yourself.
Let me see. Grant Womack, obviously. You already introduced
obviously,
me.
Obviously, we've learned something straight away.
I'm 26. I got a couple books out, Notes from the Guts of a Hippo and A Lightbulb's Lament from Bizarro Pulp Press. You might know me as a Bizarro writer, even though I do more than Bizarro. And I'm also a rapper from time to time. See how that goes. And yeah.
Cool. I mean, 26, that is remarkable. Now I feel like a relatively old man, sort of, you know. I feel like one of those uncool dads trying to interview a hip hop artist and an author of 26. That's pretty good. How did you get into the writing then? When did you start? And want to take
it through? It's kind of funny. Originally, I wanted to be a comic book artist. I was big into comic books, drawing, painting. Sometime in high school, I wanted to put a portfolio together. And there weren't many comic book scripts online at the time, which sounds unbelievable, but there weren't really many at all. And they were like little 2 pages and 3-page clips of comics. And so I was drawing and stuff and doing sequences, but I thought the comic book scripts I was reading sucked. Even though there's a ton of great comic books and comic book writers, it's just they suck.
Yeah.
And I thought I might as well just write my own comic book scripts. So I wrote my own comic book scripts and those sort of, I sort of fell in love with it at that point. And this was around 16, 17 years old.
Yeah.
And I was going through my Lovecraft phase too. Mm-hmm. Well, my post-Lovecraft phase in a way. So I was writing all of these Lovecraftian crappy stories.
Believe it or not, there's still a lot of that out there.
Yes, I know.
There's a market for that. You might want to go back over your notes.
I've been thinking about it, just to see what I could do.
So it was all Lovecraft at that time.
Yeah, it was all about it. And I think it was on Ramsey Campbell forums or message boards or something like that. And I was always talking about fiction and stuff. And then I was kind of stupid, but I was young and dumb, so I could blame it on my age. So I sent a couple writers. I sent Ramsey Campbell, like, a prose poem of mine.
Yeah.
And he was very nice about it, you know. And he was like, oh, this is pretty good. You know, maybe he didn't say pretty good, but he was like, oh, this is cool, you know. You should keep it up. I don't know if he was bullshitting me or whatever, but of course my 17-year-old self loved it. So there's a couple other people, like Gary McMahon. I sent some stuff, like early short stories, and he told me I had a ton of potential and I should start sending out short stories. So
yeah,
I started sending out short stories.
Awesome.
And got a ton of rejections. Getting
accepted. Yeah, that never gets old, does it?
No, it doesn't.
which was your first your first big break, then acceptance?
Big break wise, I still don't think I've had like a big break, but I'm trying to think. I think I had my first short story published when I was 18. I had like two short stories published that year, but I think when I got my first sort of, not really a big payment, but I think D.F. Lewis, I don't know if you know who that is, but I love him. He's like,
a
lot of people don't know, but he's one of my favorite writers of all time.
Yeah.
And he knows I'm a big fan of him. So, but anyway, I was published in one of his anthologies, and I was paid like $50 or something like that. And of course, I was ecstatic to be published by one of my heroes. So.
Yeah, that's worth more than any payment, really. So that was how you got into it then. What's your writing, editing process like? I mean, do you plot, or is it just sort of straight in and see what happens?
It's changed over the years. At first, I was sort of, I don't want to say it was a fuck it approach, but it was sort of a dive in and just write the story, sort of a free flow, no plotting, no outline, just write the story.
Yeah.
Sort of freestyling along the way.
Yeah.
And as I would write these stories, certain images or scenes would come up, and I would write those down, and I might take little notes. But most of the time it's freestyle. Like, Notes from Augustus the Hippo is completely no outline or anything. It's kind of crazy now that I think about it. But nowadays it's sort of, I use like a very loose outline just so I don't get off track and I don't lose my mind as I'm going along. So,
yeah.
And that helps me out a lot more. So it sort of depends on the, depends on the story. Like, sometimes I'll still freestyle stuff, but the outline sort of helps me. And obviously, if the characters want the story to go a different direction, I'll let them move in that direction.
That's the best way. Just have a loose outline and let the characters see if there's a better way. Usually the characters are right.
They're always right. Well, most of the time, yeah.
Well, I mean, I am a massive fan of hippos. This is like the most tedious link ever, but hippos to me are like, you know, second cousins or something. So you imagine my delight when you wrote a book called Notes from the Guts of a Hippo.
I don't know many people who love hippos.
Oh, hippos are wonderful. They're amazing. I think I like hippos more than I like mammoths.
I mean, I like hippos a lot. Someone once told me that hippo might be my spirit animal. So
is that true?
Yes.
Of all
the
animals.
The way you broke it down, I was like, oh, that kind of makes sense.
How does that make sense? Of all the Yeah, my spirit animal is a marmoset, I think, or something. So, I mean, this was your debut novel from Bizarro Pulp Press. So,
yeah.
It's what's it about?
And
how did you come up with it?
So, basically, it's about journalists. And the funny thing is, you know, obviously I do journalism work in the Navy right now,
yeah.
But before that, I wrote that in college. And it's basically about a journalist who travels to Brazil in search of a missing hippo researcher. And he finds this rare breed of hippo called the Lasties. And he basically has to go inside of the hippo, and he finds out there's like a whole other world. And there's these notes, a la the title, Notes from Against the Hippo, that are left behind from the researcher that lead him to the researcher and a lot of craziness. So, but I really don't even remember how the idea originated. It was more so, this was when I was starting to get around the Bizarro community more,
yeah.
Starting to get published more, and I was in college doing my thing, and there was a forum or message boards, I don't know, called Mondo Bizarro that I was on all the time. And I'm sure a lot of the Bizarros remember this. But it was a really cool place. I kind of miss it. But a lot of people started saying, hey, Grant, when are you going to write a book? You know, and then that stressed me out. That made me want to have a heart attack. I could barely write a 3,000-word story. So I was like, how am I going to write a book? So I said, okay. One day I sat down and had a little pep talk and said, okay, I'll write a crazy novella. Novella sounds better than just diving straight into a novel form or a short novel or anything. So I did that, and I think that kind of took me a year, but that was sort of on and off, just chipping away at it. But it was good, got my confidence up.
That's it. I mean, the best way to start is just to sit down and do it. But
yeah.
So you were sort of pressured into it then, really. So.
Yeah, in a way. I mean, it was sort of like a challenge to myself, too. I was like, well, this day would come. You kind of wanted this, so.
You knew this was going to happen.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk about your hip-hop. I listen to... Now, everybody who knows me or whatever knows that I'm not really into hip-hop. I'm more of a, you know, a heavy metal type of person.
Yeah.
But I listened to Cabin Fever this week.
Oh, did you?
And, yeah, and it's just the most laid back hip hop record I think I've ever listened to. And my favorite was Oscar Wilde.
Oh yeah, that's usually everyone's favorite.
Nice and just yeah. But I mean, it's like there's no like bitches and hoes and money. You know, it's not all about that. It's nice and it's
yeah.
Like a summery sort of album just to chill out to.
Most of my stuff's super chill.
Yeah.
A lot of my older stuff, though, like if you heard older albums, that was sort of a shift in style a little bit. But I don't really like talking about hoes and bitches. Unless a hoe is really a hoe or a bitch is really a bitch. It's
more
real life stuff, if that makes sense.
Don't even mention the thoughts.
Yeah.
we have thoughts over here as well. See, I'm down with it.
No.
I'm down with it.
I was about to say, you know, bodies and body honors.
Yeah, I mean, I watch Vines. I know what's going on. So, when did you first, like, sort of realize that you could, you know, you could rap, you could kick it? See how cool it is when I say it? I sound like a geography teacher.
No, I mean, it sounds like a Tribe Called Quest reference. So.
yeah, I was going to say, it's paraphrase a Tribe Called Quest.
I think there was a time in junior high where I started freestyling and rapping off the top of the head all the time and doing little rap battles with people at lunch just because we were bored. And I felt like I was a lot better than a lot of these people who were taking it extra serious. And I wasn't taking it extra serious at all. And I always wanted to just start to record music. So it sort of started... Junior high, me and my friend Jeff, we had a rhyme book, as we call it, and We just called it like the Book of Rhymes or something like that. I forgot what we called it, the book or something. And we'd write rhymes about girls we thought were really hot and fine in class, in all of our classes.
Yeah.
And we showed it to other guys, and they thought it was hilarious, and they loved it. And it would get passed around class. And other dudes started imitating us because they thought it was so cool. And eventually a girl got a hold of it. And that was so stressful to me one day. Like, she got a hold of it at lunch one day. I think she started to blackmail me too, but it never happened. I don't know what happened to that book. But yeah, that sort of happened. And high school, I was rapping a little bit more. I'd be rapping at parties. All the time, my friends would say, oh, Grant could rap. You should rap battle. And, you know, I'd rap battle for the last beer and stupid shit like that. You know, but I won that one, obviously. But I had a friend named Rocket T.
That is a cool name.
He's cool, people. He was the first one who really, we freestyle all the time, but he was taking it really serious. And one day I said, hey, you know, I want to record some raps. And he said, all right, cool, let's do it. So we started recording, and I sort of fell in love with it. So,
like I say, I could actually listen to it, your music. I mean, all this fucking Dr. Dre and shit, I ain't with that, but I can listen to your music. It was nice. It took me back to a day when I used to wear my trousers backwards and do you remember Crisscross?
Yes.
Yeah. So this is the thing, you had rap battles at your school. We had crooner battles at ours. It was like somebody would come and do a bit of Sinatra, and then things have changed a bit.
A little bit.
Yeah. Your school sounds like pretty cool.
I mean, it was okay. You know.
I'm going to ask you to, have you got a bit of rap you want to do now? I'm going to drop it on you. Go on.
I'm trying to think.
Yeah.
Like a freestyle? I don't know.
Yeah, a bit of something.
Yeah, let me see.
I promised everyone I'd get you to do this, so.
It's been a minute since I freestyled, but let me see. Okay. I'm trying to, let me see how I do this. I got more kicks than Johnny Cage. Used to play Sega Genesis, Streets of Rage. I'm just trying to get a little sage so I could calm down the rage inside my heart. If you ain't careful, I might rip you apart. This is the antithesis. I'm just that sick, and I'm not sure if you as sick as this. No vaccine, but I'm Maxine on the regular. I ain't got no thoughts, but that's okay, because I ain't checking them. So check me out or check me in. I'm just relaxing on Sunday, trying to get it in.
Oh, that's sick. I was gonna have a little rap battle with you, but I've decided against it. I'm bowing out of this one. Disgracefully bowing out of that one. So yeah, you should all buy Grant's records or download them from his.
Yeah, I think all my stuff's free.
Yeah, it's all free.
Probably start charging
it's
one
day. Free. See, I didn't feel guilty listening to his music because it's there for the taking.
Yes.
And if it wasn't there, I would have paid for it. So. pirates everywhere. I mean, you got your hip hop. You're a writer. You're an artist, as in art, real art, drawing and stuff. But you're also a super journalist for the Navy. A super journalist for the Navy. Is that like Captain America? I wanted to ask, what's life like in the Navy? Is it changed?
I've been in the Navy 5 years, so it's, even in the short time I've been in, it's changed. Like, little things have changed, like even uniform changes, stuff like that. Some people say it's becoming a little bit more soft. I don't know. I was in the Navy 10 years ago, so I don't know. But it's interesting. I was on a ship. I was on an aircraft carrier before I was in Spain and went on 2 deployments to the Gulf. But I was stuck on a ship. This isn't like a boots on the ground deployment. It was just I was on an aircraft carrier.
Still in the vicinity. It's close enough.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, like, a dangerous thing. Like, you get danger pain and all that, so.
Yeah.
And,
I think it's better if you've got boots on the ground, because at least you can run away. But, I mean, if you've got, if you've got a torpedo coming towards your boat, you're pretty much fucked.
Yeah, I mean, most people don't really want to attack an aircraft carrier when it look good on them.
There are some maniacs out there. You never know.
Yeah. But this is my last year in the Navy. I'll be finishing up in Spain. So at the end of this year, I'll be out.
Wow.
Free man.
And are you going to leave and pursue with us?
Yeah, I'm trying to figure that plan out right now. I'm going to go back home to Illinois and try to figure out the game plan from there. I might go back to school, or I really see myself in Cali at some point. I'll probably move there. After that.
That's amazing. See, I mean, you're 26. You've done so much already. It's like there are 26-year-olds in this country that haven't even had their first job yet. I'm serious.
This is true. You should be
amazingly proud of what you've done so far. And at 26, I mean, I think I don't know what I was doing at 26.
I'm sure you were doing great things.
Probably having a nap or something somewhere. So, Navy. Wow. I was in the parachute regiment for a little while.
That's crazy.
Yeah, no, that was what I was doing when I was 18. And then I sort of broke a leg and fractured the other one. So it was like straight back out.
Sounds stressful.
Yeah, I didn't even get to go and, you know, Chris Coyle any fucker. I just had to. I held a gun for a while, but that was it, really.
Cool.
So, I mean, with you've written your fiction. You've also written poetry. Is that Junkyard Exotic from Black Dharma Press?
Yes, Junkyard Exotic, first poetry collection. I don't think people really think of me as a poet, but then again, some people do because I rap.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I mean, do you think sort of being a musical wordsmith and having that sort of rhythm helps with creating poetry in any way?
Or, I think, yeah, it definitely helps.
So why does Eminem not write more poems?
Eminem, he's a hermit, so...
He listens to this show, you know.
I'm sure he just chills in his gigantic mansion and...
Listens to this show.
He might, who knows?
He's probably in there now going, "Who did that?" Whatever he turns like, I don't know.
You know, pretending to be angry about nothing.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, Kim! Yeah. Mom!
Oh, my $1,000 bill is crazy.
Yeah, cleaning up the closet! Whatever. He's a nice guy, though, isn't he?
Yeah, I like him. He's one of the greats.
He's alright.
So, Junkyard Exotic Poetry Collection. I don't know, I think it's a different... It's like working different muscles. Like, when I write raps, or I write more traditional poems, or if I write prose or whatever, it's just, I don't know, I feel like it's a different shift in thinking.
Yeah.
So, it kind of depends. I love it, but it's sort of, those come out a little bit less than prose. So.
Yeah. See, I've never been able to get the hang of poetry, to be fair. I think I've written a few, and I've submitted them, and been rejected. Not really got the hang of it. I think it takes a special snowflake to be able to pull off poetry.
I think it does. I mean, I recently got a few more rejections for poetry, even though I haven't really sent out that much poetry in the first place. But
do you think there's like it's a tougher market to crack? Because poetry is very literary, isn't it? It's very, like, say, prose-based and very...
Yeah, I think it's, prose-based and literary and, I don't want to say pretentious, but, you know, a little bit more uppity, at least the way I see it on some websites. And another thing is, a lot of people say poetry doesn't sell, which it kind of doesn't.
Yeah.
And, but I think there's a lot of cool things going on. Like some of those, I don't know what's really happened with that alt-lit scene, but
yeah,
some of those dudes
something went down, didn't it?
Yeah, some kind of imploded.
Yeah, it just sort of, yeah, I was trying to keep tabs on it, but it sort of disappeared again, so.
Yeah, I think there were some creeps.
Yeah.
Like that, I don't know.
There's creeps in everything.
But I think some of these dudes who are utilizing YouTube and doing more videos and trying some more different stuff, like Julia Scoria and some other people, I think if you do more, if you actually interact with technology and put it out there in a different way than people are used to, then that sort of changes the game and makes people want to read poetry instead of saying poetry. I don't want to read poetry.
We have a poet who lives, I think he's from Birmingham, or which is like literally 10 minutes away from here. I think he's quite well known. I think his name's Benjamin Zephaniah. Benjamin. His name's Ben.
That's good.
And he does these really sort of humorous but also deeply meaningful poems. And, you know, he appears a lot on the telly and that. And, he's pretty good. And he's an old school, I think he's Rastafarian as well. He's like an old school Rastafarian, and it's nice. He's very sort of broad brummy as well. If you can hear my accent and then sort of multiply how ridiculous it is by about 10, that's what people from Birmingham sound like. So how do you manage to, I mean, you do all this stuff, how do you manage to juggle it? I mean, you know, you have time to sleep and eat and stuff.
I do, actually.
Wow, sleep and eat and everything as well.
I do, like, I took a nap, I think, right before this interview, so.
there must be more hours in Spain. There really must.
There definitely is. I feel like there's not enough hours in the day. But a lot of people do tell me they feel like I'm constantly releasing stuff and writing. And I just put a lot of time in. I really don't think I'm that disciplined. I should be a lot more disciplined. And I sort of have some crazy high expectations of myself. So, I don't know. Like, I know everyone, you shouldn't compare yourself to other people. But when you see people, like, around my age, like Cameron Pierce and J. David Osborne and dudes like that who are only a couple years older than me, and they have a slew of books under their belt, you know.
No,
with me, it's just, I think there's certain, if you set these goals and self-imposed deadlines and you sort of force yourself. In college, I used to, I didn't really party that much in college. I actually party out here in Spain like 100 times more, but the party culture is crazy. But I used to say no to a lot of parties and work on writing or recording music. And I was very, I don't know, it depends. If I really want to get something done, you really just have to say no. I know it's hard, and even I have a hard time now because I party too much out here. But I say no and just shut myself in and work. And the music, I need to sort of step that up on that front. I used to drop a project every year. So I need to drop a project this year.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
Was it the Cabin Fever was a few years ago?
No, actually, I'm doing pretty well right now. That was, I think it was the beginning of last year.
Last year.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you got to drop one.
Yeah. I sort of made a tough decision, but I sort of changed my rap name from GS to Jack Mirage. So I'm trying to figure out what project to drop with that. I have two ideas I'm working on right now. And I actually have the cover art done for one project, so.
Awesome. So you do.
So that sort of like forced me in my own head to.
To finish it.
Yeah, sit down and pump out these tracks and all that.
Who are some of your own musical heroes?
like I said earlier, Tribe Called Quest is a huge influence. I'm sure people could hear that influence in my music. They're very chill.
Yeah.
I like the production, very chill, lyrical. And they seem to actually talk about stuff. They have a good vibe. I'm big on vibes and moods. So, and I like more lyrical artists. So, I like a ton of people. I mean, I love Biggie. I love Wu-Tang. Specifically, like Ghostface and RZA.
Yeah.
Like the Bobby Digital era of RZA. I love Kanye, even though everyone in the world hates him.
He is a dick, but I mean, musically, I don't know, he's done all right for himself, and you know, he's had some hits, but he needs to grow up.
In some ways, I mean, I don't approve of every move he makes,
I used to like Kiss, and then Gene Simmons started mouthing off, and I fucking, you know, it's like.
There's certain artists where, I don't know, it depends. I kind of feel like this social media age kind of, all this stuff being aired out online sort of helps and hurts people.
Yeah, it's very easy now to try and ruin somebody on the basis of
one. On Twitter, which a ton of people are. I know you're on Twitter, I'm on Twitter.
Yeah.
And you say one wrong sentence, you get destroyed.
Well, that's it. I mean, have you seen what happened, was it today, with Hulk Hogan?
What did he say?
Somebody sent a picture to Hulk Hogan, right? Now, over here, we've had a case going on for a long time with a little girl called Madeline McGann. She went missing, I think, abroad. I can't remember where it was now. Her parents neglected her, went out to a dinner, left her at home, and she went missing. This was years ago. They still haven't found her. She'd be about, God knows now, 16, something, I don't know. But somebody sent Hulk Hogan a picture of Madeleine McGann and said, can you retweet this, please, of this picture of my niece? She's the hide-and-seek champion of the last couple of years, and she'd really appreciate it. And so he retweeted it, thinking he was doing something nice for one of his fans. But now there's uproar, and Hulk Hogan has done really. He was trying to do a nice thing. You know, retweeting this picture of this girl, but he didn't know who she was, and he didn't know that the hide and seek champion was a bit of a fucking nasty thing to say. But now he's destroyed.
That is terrible.
Poor Paul. I had hopes of him being in the Expendables 4.
That would be dope. I love Hulk Hogan. He was a big part of my childhood. I used to be a big wrestling fan.
I was all about the Ultimate Warrior, to be fair.
Ultimate Warrior, I love Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah, I used to do the face paints and the and the tape hanging off the arm. And we just used to beat up the next door neighbour. But yeah, that's exactly how quickly it can happen. I mean, if you say something now, I think he's still trending. And it's a shame because, like I say, he had good intentions, but that's how quick it can happen. Social media.
Yeah.
Which brings me to social media. If anything, really pisses you off? You've got to have something that just really pisses you off.
You know, the crazy thing is,
I know you like chilled, so, and you're so chilled and laid back. It's like, but
I'm so chill and laid back. I kind of have a temper, and lately I've been getting angry about a lot of shit for no reason. I like manners and common courtesy. Someone walks up to you and says, people come up to me all the time and say, good morning, which is fine.
Yeah.
But some people say, oh, how are you? You say, good, how are you?
Yeah.
And they just keep walking. And it's like, how are you is not the equivalent of good morning. If I ask you, how are you? You better answer.
Yeah.
You know? Don't be a dick. And then, the other day, what was this? Someone spilled some food in my back seat, who I gave a ride home, and they didn't bother to say a word about this. Like, grown-ass men spilling food in my back seat. And they just slipped out, and I asked both of these people, and they both deny it. Like, I know one of them did it.
One of you did it. You better round up, otherwise you're both gone.
If I don't act retarded.
Yeah.
So there's that. And then, what else pissed me off? Just sort of like online outrage about nothing.
Does that happen? I mean, surely there's a reasoning behind these.
There's some good reasoning, but I kind of got, I don't know if I want to go this route, but.
No, this is why I ask, you see.
We're going this route. So, you remember that article, what's her name? Kay Tempest or whatever her name is. She did that challenge, that reading challenge about.
Yeah, only read certain people.
Yeah, and people got so pissed. I don't know your stance on it, but I just felt like people read too much into it. It was basically like, read outside of your comfort zone.
Yeah,
and
I think that was all it was, just offering a bit of advice.
Yeah, and I thought about it like, if someone said, hey, you could do this 30-day smoothie challenge so you could get healthier.
Yeah.
And people flip out like, oh, I just want to keep being unhealthy.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
I want to be fat.
You don't have to work out. You don't have to read anything.
No.
Like, no one's forcing you to do anything.
No.
Think Guantanamo Bay, like, force feeding you bullshit.
I saw a lot of the outrage, and I was just like, because I don't get involved. I've said it before, and if I get involved, then,
I hate it because it's a waste of energy.
Yeah.
And you get worked up about nothing.
Exactly. And that's what the block button's for. My block list.
It's just the other big thing that outraged me about it was just like the writing community always talks about, oh, we need more diversity in fiction. We need more diversity. And someone suggests something.
Yeah.
And everyone flips out.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
we got like Women in Horror Month in February,
yeah.
Which is like 28 days. That's the shortest fucking month.
Yeah,
because
the shortest fucking month.
You
Black
give
History
them.
Month,
yeah.
Women in Horror Month. What the fuck?
Yeah. Even on a leap year, that's shit. You know what I mean? Like, seriously. Well, I think they should get 6 months, and then we should get 6 months. And it doesn't really fucking make a difference. There are great women writers out there. There are great women writers who are Black. There are great women writers who are who are gay. And there are great male writers who are gay and Black.
Right.
And, do you know what I mean? They're out there. Read them if you want to. That was what got me about that whole Kay Tempest thing. I don't even think about it when I pick up a book. If I look at the book, do you know what I mean? I was reading books by people that I thought were men. And I didn't find out till years later that it was a woman.
Yeah, that's happened to me.
Yeah,
before.
And do you know what? I still carried on reading them because it makes no difference. It's the people who say, no, I'm just going to read white, straight male, whatever. Then, so be it. Read what you want. Just fucking read.
And people can read what they want. It's just, I feel like there's some people, I know a writer, an aspiring writer, who's younger than me, who only reads, he's only reading Lovecraft right now, nothing else. And
that's how the madness starts, that is.
Yeah, and I'm like, okay, that's cool to read, but he's like read everything by Lovecraft already, so you would think he would go read Lovecraftian fiction or something in that vein, and let's be honest here, Lovecraft doesn't have the best prose, so,
There are tons of better writers out there, but he's got his following, and he's always going to have the people who were there to defend him, despite his obvious.
I mean, he still influenced me, obviously, like I said earlier, so.
Yeah. So, that pisses you off. Anything else?
just respect other people, common courtesy, that's all I want in life.
It's gone. Common courtesy
dudes,
is gone.
Dudes
now.
Let me see. Like, man-to-man respect. We need more man-to-man respect.
Yeah.
Like, just, there's unwritten rules. Like, if I'm talking to a girl, and you see me talking to a girl, don't come in here and interrupt the conversation or something like I was in the club Friday night. dancing with some girl, and this dude comes and swoops in behind her
and
starts dancing on her. And you saw I was dancing with this girl. I got pissed. And I can't be getting into no fights right now. It's my last year in the Navy.
Yeah, next year you could just take that L.
And you know, take that. But at the same time, like, who does that?
Yeah,
you know?
They're out there. Those people. It's happened to me a lot of times.
But just so people know, she did hit me up later on.
Yeah.
It was very sad that I left after that, but...
Oh, see, well, there you go, though. I mean, you got your nerve as well.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Half the time, the woman doesn't even want the person who's doing the swooping to interrupt. It's just, you know...
That's true. Yeah, she was probably just being knife out.
Do you have any advice? I know you're relatively young and... do you have any advice for aspiring rappers and writers?
Yeah, I feel dumb giving people advice.
Well, no, I always ask this question because everybody has something that got them to where they are.
That's true.
And,
I mean, I've been through some things, obviously. Like, I signed some bad contracts in the past. I've worked with, I don't want to say they're bad people. It could be people with good intentions, but, like, there is times where, let's just say, I take it like, you need to read a lot, and you need to write a lot.
Yeah.
And don't, people always come up to me and want advice about writing, but they don't write, and they just have these ideas. I'm like, you just need to fucking write.
Yeah.
That's really, you need to sit your ass down in the chair and write.
Yeah.
And read. That's and write, lot. Read, and put in the time.
Yeah.
Like, discipline yourself, make a habit. But also research your markets and who you're submitting to thoroughly, because some people know I was involved, A Light Bulb's Lament was previously supposed to come out from Spectacular Productions, and a lot of people,
yeah,
I'm sure everyone knows, not one book came out from Spectacular Productions, even though there was supposed to be like 100 of them going.
I think that's
a T-shirt came out.
Yeah,
but
that still exists in some fashion. I don't know what they're doing there. Films or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I have no idea. But, yeah, just research your markets. Don't just... I guess I was a little thirsty to get published, to get a book out.
Yeah.
So, and that book was sort of held hostage for a year.
Yeah.
It really sucked. So, I was kicking myself in the ass for that. And even some other people in the writing community, like, pulled me aside and, like, you shouldn't have just jumped at the first piece of cake that's thrown your way.
But that's the thing. I mean, you do. It's like, you think, this is it. This is, you know, I'm...
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought.
Everybody does it. I mean, I think I did it, and, you know, that was back in 2004. And, I mean, you learn as you go along.
Yeah, and I mean, this part, I'm a little thankful it happened, just so I know, sort of makes me a little bit more cautious and hesitant about who to work with, and I don't have to rush to get stuff out, you know.
Who are some of your literary inspiration?
Like I said, D.S. Lewis.
Yeah.
He's a big one. Ramsey Campbell, Clive Barker. I'm hyped for the Scarlet Gospels right away.
Yeah,
but,
definitely.
Who else? I mean, there's dudes like Carlton Mellick who influenced me, Cameron Pierce, J.D. Osborne, all those dudes. Who else? I don't know why I'm drawing such a blank. There's a ton of people, like... what's her name? Caitlin, I don't know how to pronounce her last name. Kiernan.
Yeah, I always pronounce it Kiernan, but that's probably
she's wrong. Amazing. I love her prose.
Yeah.
I like a lot of prose people, like, but then again, I like weirdness too. Like, I like Kafka.
Yeah.
Gibbon. I read a lot of crime fiction too, like Charlie Houston. I love that dude.
Yeah.
Who wrote The Killer Inside? Jim Thompson. Jim Thomas presented. He is a great dude. Philip K. Dick, I think he is amazing. I mean, I could go on and on.
Yeah.
I love most stuff. A lot of people. Jeremy Robert Johnson. I think his shit's amazing. Skullcrack City.
Yeah.
Blew my mind when I read that. So.
Loads of great stuff. Is there any subject you would never write about as an author? Anything that would just be too either too difficult or too taboo for you to write about? Would you think everything's fair game?
I would say everything's fair game. Like, I love hardcore horror too. Like, dudes like Rath James White and Edward Lee and
yeah,
all those guys, Brian Smith, I love them. But with me, I kind of... Like, I'm working on a hardcore horror project right now. It should have already been done, but there's really no deadline. It's just, and then there's a rape scene in the very first chapter.
Yeah.
And that's sort of, I feel like I'm overthinking it, but it's just like, now that I'm a little bit older, I'm trying to think, I don't want women to look like they're weak characters in the book.
Yeah.
And I just don't want characters to be thrown in there. I want all my characters to have some agency. And, you know, I don't want... And some people are weak. It's just...
Yeah.
So I would write about anything. And there's some hardcore stuff that happens in there. Sexual stuff, violent stuff. And there's always a little bit of violence in my books. Well, there's a lot of violence in my books in general. It's just... I don't know how far... I would go until I reach that wall, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it takes a lot to sort of, I suppose, write rape scenes and things like that. I mean,
yeah.
I think.
I'm sure you've run into it.
yeah. it's a tough one because like you say, I mean, it depends. I mean, the market, and if it's like you said, it's at the first chapter as well. It's a tough one to set up the rest of the book.
Yeah, because I'm wondering how people are going to respond to that, because I don't want to say my other stuff's lighthearted, but this is definitely going a lot darker than people are used to.
But like you say, I mean, it's everything's fiction. I mean, this stuff happens in real life.
Yeah,
you know,
that's true.
It needs to be sort of written about as well, because it happens. It's an actual tangible... say a rape is a tangible event that, you know, actually...
Yeah. I think as long as I'm not... I think the same thing with Bizarro. As long as it's not just weirdness for weirdness'
for the sake,
you're not just throwing weird shit into it to make it better, you think. Or just throwing characters in a story to be... I mean, some characters get thrown in to get killed off.
We all have those.
Yeah. But
it's integral to the story, so
yeah.
That's the main thing. So, do you read your own reviews at any point? Have you ever?
I do. It's sort of a bad habit. I'm sure everyone. I know everyone does. Even some of
the people
say,
"Oh,
I don't do it."
I used to, but I did stop. I really did stop. I don't care. It came to the point where, you know, it's just like it does nothing. It's not beneficial to me.
It's not.
You know,
it's not. Because if, same thing with, I see a lot of rappers and musicians, just people in general who go crazy over comments and criticism of their work. And it's so bad. It's just, when Notes from the Ghost of Hippo came out, I used to check my Amazon sales ranking all the time.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I'm doing better than this person. And,
yeah.
And I was like, okay, I'm killing them, you know?
Yeah.
And then there's other times where you see it's in the millions and fuck, I suck, who am I? And you know how you see reviews? Reviews are super important, I think, in general on Amazon, because a lot of people, they go on and they see 4-star reviews and like, okay, this is pretty good. Because a lot of people I work with, too, they'll check out Amazon and say, oh, you know, I read some of the reviews and it seems like people love it.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, good, I'm glad I got some good reviews. And I think I got my first, last year I got one of my first really bad reviews after the Hippo book was was nominated in the preliminaries for a Wonderland Book Award.
Yeah.
And one dude, I guess he was reading all of the Wonderland Book Award stuff, and he was like, I don't think this should have been nominated. I don't think it's up to snuff. And I was like, damn, you know. And he gave it like 2 stars on Goodreads, and it's whatever now, but
yeah.
At the same time, I was like,
I used to get upset. Like, I'd be like, but then you get to the point where it's just like, you know what? You didn't like it. That's fine.
Yeah.
You know, it's the reviews that, you know, somebody says there's something in the book that actually isn't in there. Or
I mean, and there's good criticism and bad
criticism
instead of
great.
I didn't like that there were bats in the story or whatever, you know.
Yeah. Well, what do you think of people who respond to reviews?
I think they need to stop.
Yeah.
It's almost like you're feeding the trolls. Like,
yeah.
There's a... Who is that? I don't know if you've seen that guy, but there's a guy who... I think he writes... He purposely gives reviews... He makes 1-star reviews on Amazon.
Yeah, for everything.
Yeah, I think you've seen that guy. He writes like a poetry.
Is it poetry? Yeah.
Review.
That guy's funny.
I'm just like, I think someone interviewed him recently too, and I don't know why he does this, but someone like that you would not want to respond to, because you're just digging yourself into a hole.
Let him get on with it. He's not hurting anyone really.
Yeah, it's like, okay, and I mean, you should have some balanced review that does look fishy. All you have are 5-star reviews. And,
yeah. It does, not every book you read can be 5 stars. I mean, I rarely put a book down and think that was the best thing I've ever read. 5 stars, you know what I mean? There are classics that I read and I think
there's usually a rare thing. It's like,
it didn't
okay, work. And there's even people, I guess, I like Clive Barker, I love dude, but some of his recent stuff didn't really impress me that much, like Mr. Be Gone and all that. So,
Who do you think people should be reading like right now at this point? The favorite books of like recent years?
Skullcrack City by Jeremy Robert Johnson, amazing. What else? That book Haunt by Laura Lee Barr.
Yeah, I haven't read it, but it's on my list.
Yeah, I think it's just amazing. I mean, there's a ton of people. Like, anything from Broken River Books is pretty good. Lazy Fascist Books.
Yeah, they put out some good stuff.
There's, like, a lot of good publishers. I don't know how to say dude's name, but, you know, Civil Coping Mechanism.
Yeah.
Michael's publishing company. They put out some great stuff. $2 Books. Or $2 Radio. I think they got something like $2 Radio. I don't know. People know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But what's that book? Made to Break by Dee Foy. That was pretty good. Like, the prose was on point. The way it twits sentences. Brian Allen Carr. I finally read a book by him recently. What is it? Eddie and the Low Hung Hands.
Yeah.
That was a trip. And his prose in general is just... Damn, you know, but there's a ton of good people working. I mean, there's a ton of good stuff coming out. So
definitely, I'm gonna throw in Seb Dubinsky to that. I think he's doing.
I
love his stuff now.
Yeah, you know
when you find an author and it's like you've got a whole back catalogue to work through. That's always that's always awesome. You know what I mean? It's like.
Yes, poetry is on point.
Yeah. It's just
cool
amazing.
People, so.
Very smart guy. Do you ever suffer with writer's block? Or?
I kind of like Warren Ellis's stance on writer's block that, you know, if you're a writer, writer's block doesn't exist.
Yeah.
So, I think, who was it, Nick Mamatas? He wrote something about it a while back. I forgot how he described it. It was like a psychological thing, something like that. But he said something similar to Warren Ellis, basically. You know, if you're a writer, it's just like any other job. You need to go to work and put in, you need to put those words down. Sort of like my job right now in the Navy, there's no, I can't go to my editor and say, oh, I got writer's block. I can't write this news story or I can't write this feature story. You know, it's like I might have some issues or I might, I think it's more so if I'm really tired or something or something's distracting me.
Not in the
while I'm trying to write. Yeah, and I think that's why you should have, well, personally, it's just, I'll have multiple projects going. Like, I have multiple books I'm working on and multiple short stories. So it's sort of, I might be working on something and I run into a wall. So I'll pull up something else I'm a little bit excited about it, where I left off at a good point and keep running with that.
Yeah. Take some talent now, that does.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, it's
I'm a one project man.
Easier than it is. I wish my my output was a little bit better than it is right now, but
you're
26, I'm doing all right.
Man. You're 26.
I know. Someone, one of my friends, he told me if I won, what is it? I could win a silver medal at the Olympics and I would get mad. Or I could win a gold medal at the Olympics and still get mad about something little.
So pissed off why you didn't get the platinum one.
Yeah. Like, oh, I could have done better.
Yeah, I could have done better. Could have got the world record. So what's next in the pipeline? Have you got anything coming up or?
There's nothing official. There's a few different publishers that want books from me, which is kind of nerve-wracking, so I have this imaginary pressure on my back.
Always a good
but the two main ones are like my main projects I need to knock out soon are there's a book called God's Leftovers, hardcore horror project. Yeah, because I want to show people I can write more than Bizarro. I don't want to be put in this box. Like, the rest Bizarro. So that should be a crazy blow. I have a publisher in mind for that, but we'll see what happens. Then I'm working on a crime fiction book called Black Gypsies, which I've talked about a little bit on and off in the past, that I'm supposed to send to Broken River. Obviously, there's like no contract or anything, and they might not want it. Hopefully, they do. I'm sure they will, you know.
Hopefully.
Keep our fingers crossed. But it's basically more realistic story, sort of a crime fiction story that takes place in Chicago about two jack boys, I call them, who steal parts from cars and sell them for money, and they end up stealing the wrong part from the wrong car.
Yeah.
And this gangster sort of goes on this rampage throughout the city trying to get his shit back, so...
Very different. Very quickly, how can people get in touch with you? Website, Facebook, Twitter?
Oh, Grant Womack. GrantWomack.com, actually. I recently bought the domain. Look me up on there. That's my blog. Usually you can find everything on there. There's links to music. Look up at Grant Womack. That's my Twitter handle. So handle this.
Yeah.
Yes, the main one is grantwomack@gmail.com if you want to shoot me an email. I'm on Facebook. Pretty much on everything.
Awesome. Well, I am suitably chilled out now after this conversation. Seriously, it's been so nice just to, you know. I think it's the tone of your voice as well. It's just like,
People do get relaxed.
Yeah.
So I hope I didn't chill you out to death.
No, that was lovely.
thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming on, mate. It's if you stick around and until we've closed, and then I'll talk to you a bit more. It's been an absolute pleasure, mate.
Yeah, it was a good time.
All right, I'll speak to you in a bit, mate. Thank you.
I'm not like you. I just fuck up. Come on, motherfucker. Everybody has to die. People equal shit. To